Invite you to turn your Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And I didn't realize it till I was preparing for the message. Lord just laid this thought in my heart, first with the Beatitudes and then with this message. And almost to the day, the Lord blessed me with this message 20 years ago. And, of course, the Lord's Word has been settled and has been so from the time from eternity and given unto us. But just this thought of blessed is the man. And, of course, when the Scripture is using that word man, it doesn't mean just men, but it means mankind, men or women, boys or girls, the one, the person. Blessed is the man. The Scripture says much about this. And so may the Lord help us as we look into this thought. It says here in Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 34, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. And so the Lord here speaking through the psalmist, and this of wisdom is being brought out. Wisdom is personified in this chapter, in this proverb. And the Lord declares here, the Scripture declares here, is the man that hears the wisdom of God is blessed indeed. Now, understand when we look at this word or see this word, hear this word in the Scriptures, blessed, or as the English would say, blessed. When we hear that word, there's two things that are at hand there. There's an aspect of filling, one that has received. We're blessed with the thing, okay? But also in this, in parallel to it, is one that has been touched by God, one that has been touched by the Lord, the blessing of having been touched by the Lord in this thing. And so there's also this of joy. And so joy, blessings, all right, as we say, blessings that we experience, they bring us joy and happiness, and this of being touched by God. So one that has been touched by the Lord, one that is rejoicing in Him, blessed is the man that heareth me, that hears the Lord in His wisdom, that's watching daily at His gates. What is it that the Lord's going to say? What is it that the wisdom of the Lord is going to pronounce? Waiting at the post, the doorpost of my doors, waiting there. That man, that person is blessed indeed. In Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Reverence and fear of God, His power, His ability, all of His attributes, to reverence Him and to fear Him. He is the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, Jehovah God, the Almighty. The fear of Him is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. He's spoken, He's declared, He's commanded mankind. His praise endureth forever. And so the man, the person, the woman that is there hearing the wisdom of the Lord, watching daily to see what's going to be proclaimed, waiting at the post of his doors. And of course, we understand that that's to us in our day, the one that wrote the Proverbs, all the full word of God had not been revealed and not been given. It has been in our day. And do we wait here? And that do we look into the Word of God to hear what God has said? Again, in Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. God is wisdom. You know, the counterpoint of that is all other is not eternal wisdom. The only place of wisdom. May the Lord help us, each and every one of us, that we not be found swallowed up in self-wisdom, conceitedness, the end of its destruction. We need the wisdom of the Lord. We need what He has declared in every respect. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. and our thrice holy God. What is it there that those creatures declare before the throne of God continually? Holy, holy, holy. He is holy. And knowledge from Him and of Him is indeed understanding. There was some that take this Proverbs 8, and this declaration regarding wisdom, and how they construe it to say that that God, the Lord, is subject to wisdom. No, this is the one that has written this proverb, the Spirit of God that's given unto us, is just giving us understanding about this attribute of God. When God created, He used His wisdom to do it. When God worked in bringing forth mankind, He used His wisdom to do it. And wisdom is personified here. Wisdom is called a she. But understand, the one that had that originated and the one that is wisdom is the Lord Almighty. In verse 22, it says there, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning." Well, there's no beginning with God, but in the beginning of the creation, the Lord used His wisdom to do so. So don't be tripped up by those that would say that the Lord is subservient to wisdom. He is His wisdom is His alone and is used, but it's to explain to us about it. In verse 23, wisdom was set up. Wisdom in verse 24 was brought forth. Again in 25, brought forth. And in verse 29, we see His decree, His commandment, and He appointed. So the Lord is not subservient to wisdom. Wisdom isn't this power out there that God is subject to. He is the originator of wisdom, and blessed is the man that hears His wisdom, waiting for it and watching for it. We turn to Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah chapter 56. We see here another blessedness of a person. Isaiah chapter 56, verse number 2, "Blessed is the man that doeth this," something to do, "and the son of man that layeth hold on it." All right, you got that, young folks? It's good for the older and the younger alike. "Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil." The Lord has His day. That's the way it's been from the beginning. First, it was given as a day of rest for mankind, but God commanded it to be so. God rested on the seventh day. That was His example. That was His command. That was His blessing. Then when the nation came along, the nation, the Lord's nation, He brought the nation of Israel to fruition. He gave them a command regarding that seventh day of the week, that would be a day of service and of holy convocation. So, less physical rest, more worship and service of God, but nevertheless a day of difference, coming away from that of daily, of the other 6 days and the work of all that, a day set aside to worship God and for man to make a difference, to take a difference from the former part of the week. And then we come to the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ came, the Lord became, the Son of God became a man, and He lived and He ministered and He built His church, and then He gave Himself on Calvary, was buried, and rose again and appeared to that church on the first day of the week. The day was moved. Rather than the last day of the week, it became the first day of the week, that He might be preeminent in all things, right? We studied that in Colossians, the preeminence of the Lord. Rather than it being a day of rest, a day of holy convocation, now it's a day dedicated to the Lord. Less a day of rest physically, Ask the ladies about that, because if they're cooking for us and all that, they don't get much rest on Sunday. But it is the Lord's Day that we meet together to worship Him in His church, with His church. And it's different from all the other days of the week, Monday through Saturday, days that we work, days that we pursue. But it's a different day in honor of the Lord Jesus, in honor of His resurrection, at His command to meet together. And we should honor it and hold it as such. As the Lord told and declares in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, it still applies. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what they had then. Well, now the Lord's day, as is testified in the New Testament, is to be kept holy too, because it is His day, the Lord's day. And we study about different things that the Scriptures tells that are the Lord's. One of those is His day. And we need not defile it in any way, not pollute it and observe it indeed. In Mark chapter 16, for example, in verse number 9, now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, we celebrate and we rejoice in the resurrection of our Lord at the beginning of the week. The day dawned, the day star rise. He rose from the dead. And we desire, as the Scripture says, for that to shine in each one's heart unto salvation and conviction of service. It is His day. He appeared to many that are there. And as Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and the Apostle Paul, they write. And when you take a look at the first day of the week in English in the Scripture, you take a look and go back to the Greek, it says the first Sabbath. They made a distinction. This is the first one, not the day on the seventh day, but the first Sabbath, the first day of rest, day of worship, day of the Lord is indicated. So blessed is the man that observes that day and keeps it, keeps the Lord's day. Blessed is the son of man that layeth hold on it, that the Lord's day is his and it's special. There's a blessing in that indeed. May we not rest against it. And then in Psalm chapter 1, take a look here what the Scripture says. Psalm chapter 1. In Psalm chapter 1, verse number 1, blessed is the man, the woman, the boy, the girl, the person, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There is a progression of sin that's indicated here. Blessed is the man that walketh not. So there's that walking. And what is it that sin does? It causes us to become idle, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Blessed is the man that avoids that, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. There's a progression in that, a progression to less movement and less going and nothing but sin and wickedness being gendered in that. The man touched by God and rejoicing in Him is blessed that stays away from that counsel, stays away from that way of sinners, and does not sit in the seat of the scornful. What is it our attitude about folks, our brothers and sisters, or other people that we know and that we meet? Are we scornful with our mouths? Are we scornful with our hearts? Indeed, there's times that we have of great concern one for another, and we may even declare that. But what is the desire? Are we looking to run one down, or are we looking to be concerned and desiring a good thing, desiring a change and a turn? Blessed is the man that stays away from that stuff, because it leads to nothing but sin and iniquity before our Lord. Psalm 94. Take a look over here what the psalmist declares here in this psalm. Psalm 94. Verse number 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. When you disobey the Lord, when you run contrary to what the Lord has declared and brought to show you from the Word of God, does the Lord chasten you? You know, understand this range of chastening is from the still small voice for the child of God. He can touch our wealth, he can touch our health, he can touch our loved ones, or he can even take us out of here. The man that is rejoicing, the person that is rejoicing and has been touched by God, is chastened by him. When we get out of the way, when our attitudes are poor, when we shirk on telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ, when we shirk about our responsibility and commitment that we've made in the church, we're going to see in this afternoon, Lord willing, in the book of Colossians in chapter 2 about how we are expected as the Lord's people and his church to be knit together, not distanced from one another, but knit together in this work that we've been called into. Does the Lord chasten you? Anyone that's a child of God is chastened by the Lord. Again, that range from the still small voice all the way to death, as is evidenced in the scriptures and in Corinthians. Brother Job declared this in Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, because he corrects those that he loves. It's not natural for us to enjoy correction, but I tell you what, it is a blessing indeed for the Lord to correct his children. What's the Lord want for you and me? He wants good for us. He wants us to walk that narrow way, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And being yet in these sinful bodies and having these minds that are not redeemed and righteous yet. Our souls have been saved. We've been rescued from our sins. But this old corrupt man, we still have him on our spiritual back, if you will. And to go along and to sin against the Lord and there be no correction, one needs to evaluate their salvation. Because the Lord wants his children to walk the right and narrow way, which is Christ, following after him. Happy, touched by God, is he whom thou chastenest. Behold, happy is the man, Job declares, whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Which the apostle or the brother that writes Hebrews reiterates that there. Don't despise it. Don't despise it. My natural tendency is to despise it. I don't need to despise it. I've got a Father in heaven who loves me. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. And again, these are all bundled up in one passage in Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 8. In James chapter 1, we see another blessedness of the one that looks to and rests in our Lord. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verses number 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. There's going to be temptation for the child of God in this life. Again, this old flesh, we don't have a body like Christ yet. We are subject to temptation yet. But happy, rejoicing in the Lord. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. One that's been touched by God is the one that endures temptation. Temptation is going to come. But there's a trying in that. And the Lord tries his children. He never tempts unto sin. We know that's what Satan does. Satan will tempt unto sin and iniquity. But our Lord will try us. And one that endures shall receive the crown of life, the perseverance of the saints, to persevere for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You know, it's the same old thing that it's always been that's declared in John chapter 3. Those that have been touched by the Lord and saved by the Lord want to come to the light. Because they love the Lord. The Lord loves them. They've been saved. But what's it say there also? Those that don't care anything about the Lord, have not been touched by the Lord, don't want to come close to the light because their deeds are reproved. But those that have been touched by the Lord and saved by the Lord want to come near the light, that their works might be shown and manifest, not to a brag upon them, but that He might be glorified. Here in James 1:12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Do we love Him, or do we love sin? That's what's parsed out there in John chapter 3. They repent not because they love their sin more than they love the Lord. That's the condemnation that's at hand there in John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus, when He instructs us and teaches us how to pray, in Matthew 6, there on the Sermon on the Mount, He declares in verse number 13, and lead us not into temptation. We need to pray that, asking the Lord to help us. But deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord. Deliver me. Help me when I'm tempted and tried. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. This is Your kingdom, Lord, and I want to be found a child pleasing unto You. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In this James chapter 1, in verse number 2, it declares there, my brethren, count it all joy. I have a hard time with that. I know you don't, but I have a hard time being joyful when I come in divers temptations and trials come my way. But that's what the blessed man is to do, to count it joy. It's an opportunity for the Lord to show His power in me. But many times what I do is I just grumble and fuss and carry on. Verse number 3 here in James 1, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And if I buck against that trial, I buck against that trying, that pressure upon my faith in the Lord, no patience will be yielded. You know, it's not good to brag about not having patience. We need to have patience. And we need to wait on our Lord. And when things are overwhelming, things pile up on us, we need to go to the Lord. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Because there's a great promise in store for us. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And so may we love him indeed. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1 that there are things to add to our faith, and patience is one of them. That the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5 be manifest in us. Then we come to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. And here we see another blessing that the psalmist declares. Psalm 84, verse number 5. Psalm 84, verse number 5. Blessed is the man whose strength is in Thee, and in whose heart are the ways of them. Our strength in the Lord. If we try to go of our own strength, we're just not going to get too far. And it's going to be frustrating because our strength is nigh unto nil. But the man touched by God and rejoicing in Him, his strength is in the Lord. As it says in Acts 17, Brother Paul preaching there on Mars Hill, for in the Lord, in Him we live and move and have our being. You know, we just need to get a hold of that. that you and I, we did not get up and wake up this morning and have our sense about us apart from the strength and the working of the Lord in us. For in Him we live and move and have our being. We are his offspring, as Paul refers to one of their poets. He cares about us. And then there in Psalm 84, verse 5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and God, who in whose heart are the ways of them. The ways of them is referring to his tabernacles or his courts, his house. Are you interested in the way of God? Are we interested in the way of the world? Are we filled with the way of the world and the ways and the thinking of the world? Or are we looking to be filled and following after the ways of the Lord? It's the only way to be blessed. Only way to be rejoicing. Only way to be touched by God is our strength is in him. And in our heart are his ways declared from his word in his place. In Psalm 112, a few pages over, Psalm 112, another blessing that's declared here by the psalmist. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. It's very much akin to what was mentioned the last point. Blessed, happy, touched by God is the man that feareth the Lord and is there delighting in what he has commanded. Are the commandments of the Lord grievous to us? Do we say, oh, I just can't do what I want to do. Oh, one more thing to do. One more thing to remember. Or do we know and understand that the commands of the Lord is his direction for us to walk in the way of life? How is it with us? As the Lord said, the Lord Jesus said in the day of his ministry, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Hearken, I say unto thee, the Lord Jesus declares. Do we? When Jesus speaks, do we hear and pursue that? That's what that word hearken involves, is hearing and receiving and obeying. Do we have an ear to hear? Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and that delighteth greatly in his commandments. How is it? How is it with us? For us to be blessed, touched by God, and rejoicing in him, we must latch hold of his word and his commandments. And then in Psalm 65, we see another declaration here by the psalmist. Another blessing declared by the psalmist here in verse number 4. Psalm 65, 4, blessed is the man whom thou choosest, and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. See, folks just don't understand, and we don't understand naturally, how great the Lord is and how depraved and sinful that we are. It took, and we sang some songs along that line this morning. It's the truth. Sin is so terrible and so separating from God. The chasm is wider than we could ever even understand or imagine what sin has done to man. We don't know who God is. We don't know where God is. We don't know how to get in touch with God. We don't even know we've got a problem to get a hold of God for help with. We just do not have it. We just don't know. But the Word of God is sent by the Lord unto us. And you know what? He takes that Word and he tells us to sow it as seed. And in his churches here, he tells us to sow that seed. And no matter what the ground it falls on, and you know what? There's ground that seed falls on that the Lord, by his miracle and the Spirit of God, he works. He makes it heard. He makes it to where it's understood that there's something at hand, that he is at hand, that there's a necessity for eternity, that there's sin that needs to be dealt with and can only be dealt with one way. And the providence and the working of God, as we hear about that parable of four different kinds of ground, there's seed that goes out and Satan just eats it right up and carries it off. It happens. There's seed that goes over there on the rocky places and on the thorny places, and that's the Lord's business. Those people say, yeah, that's great. Jesus is just wonderful. I'm glad to hear that. But there's problems that come along. Offense because of the world, the Word of God, I just can't go that far with it. Or the riches and the cares of life. You know, I've got a lot more stuff to do than what this thing about Jesus has called me to, and there's never any fruit that's produced. But you know what? There are those that are brought to the point of receiving it, hearing it, as the Scripture says, with the heart, believing it with all their heart. They're saved by the Lord, by the miracle of the Lord, brought to repentance, brought to faith in Christ Jesus, one hanging on the tree, one buried and risen again for that individual. Not believing in a wholesale salvation that Jesus died for us all. He did. We who are here and saved, we can say that. The Scripture speaks that way. But been brought to the point to where they believe that Jesus did that for me. For me. He came. For me. He became a man for me. He lived for 30 years, pinned up, as it were, to show he's divine. For me. He gave himself for me. He died for me. He shed his blood, was buried because he died, and he raised from the dead for me. You know what? Happy and rejoicing with joy unspeakable and full of glory again, and touched by God is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. He does that by his word and by his spirit, that he may dwell in thy courts. We're getting a taste of that now, dwelling in the court. Do you like dwelling in the court of the Lord? Do you like being together with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Is being together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and the service and fellowship and the worship in the Lord's church, is that a blessing? Or is that something that we have to endure? Do you have to endure that? Kind of wind up the worship clock to get that set for an... You know, I pray that's not the case. If we just got to kind of wind up the clock for our endurance for services, something's not right. It's a blessing to be able to come and be in the courts. There's not a tabernacle anymore with courts, but we are the tabernacle. We are the Lord's house. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee. Not only have you and I been saved, but we've been made to understand that his church is something that's important, that is real, that we're to be a part of. That he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house. Are we? Are we satisfied with the goodness of it? Are we satisfied with what he's provided and what he's given? Do you want it different? If you want something different that's good and honoring to the Lord, I dare say pray for it. But you know what? Our service and our part and our work in the church, our part that we take in the church, it's what we make of it. What do you want it to be? What do you want it to be? Do you want to be one that has to be dragged along to it, or you're one that rushes to it and say, Lord, we worship you and we want to do what you've given us to do. What can I do? Here am I, send me. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. The Lord has saved us from our sin and our depravity, and he has brought us a very, very long way. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians 2:14. For the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. That's where you and I were. That's where we were, wrapped up in foolishness. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But the Spirit came and visited us. The Word of God was made effectual by the Spirit of God, and it was brought to mean something to us. Jesus is our Savior. He did those things for us. And not only has He saved us, He's called us to His church, and He's given us a great privilege and opportunity. May we do well with it. Blessed is the man whom Thou choosest and causest to approach unto Thee, that he may dwell in Thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house, even of Thy holy temple. And then in Psalm 34, we see another blessing declared here by the psalmist. Psalm 34, verse number 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. Do you trust in the Lord? Do you rest in Him? Do you look to Him? Do you walk with Him daily? Psalm 84:12, again, the psalmist declares, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Brother Jeremiah 17, verse 7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and in whose hope the Lord is. You know how I'm going to be able to leave this earth and go somewhere else? Only by the Lord. I'm resting in Him, aren't you? Hey, He's the only way that can take us to a blessed eternal destination. You know, and I rest in Him in that. I know that you do too. Blessed is a man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. In Psalm 16, verse number 1, the psalmist pleads the Lord, preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. Psalm 25:20, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Psalm 31:1, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in Thy righteousness. Psalm 56:4, in God I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalm 56:11, in God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me, in that same chapter. In Psalm 71:1, in Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. In Psalm 73:28, but it is good for me to draw near to God. You know, Brother James spoke about that. Draw near to God. He's speaking to the saints. He'll draw near to us. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all Thy works. And then lastly, in Psalm 32, Brother David writing, he declares here something that's the greatest blessing indeed. In Psalm 32, verse number 2, blessed, happy, touched by, rejoicing in the Lord with joy unspeakable. That joy unspeakable, saying that you just can't say enough to declare the joy that's in hand because of Christ Jesus. Touched by God is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Saved. Pardoned and redeemed from our sins. The wrath of God, not facing that, but the wrath of God being borne and dealt with by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Calvary. He suffered it all, and He paid it all because He loves us. Sin not being imputed to my account. And the thing is that this takes and this blows this thing up about religion, quote unquote, in the world, and in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. This is not a deceitful thing, a facade that's put on, but this is salvation by the Lord. And sin dealt with God's way for the child of God. and a relationship, a kinship with our God and Creator. He has taken our sins and removed them from us. Brother Paul reiterates such in Romans chapter 4, verse number 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. It was imputed unto our Savior, as it says in Corinthians. He was made to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. You say the same thing. You declare that if you're saved. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, when he had by himself purged our sins. He purged them. That's what our wives and mothers do when they do the laundry. They purge out the dirt from the clothes. That's what the Lord did with us. He purged out our sin, removed it from us. I tell you what, blessing of blessings indeed, touched by God. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, the Lord declares, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile, no deceit. It's not by deception. It's by faith, trust, repentance, the work of God in the heart. Jesus came and he came preaching in the beginning of his ministry. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. And we have. And we trust and rest in him in his death, burial, and resurrection for the salvation of our souls. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. Blessed is the man. This is really just a short look-see at this phrase and this thought out of the scriptures. But the blessings abound, don't they? The blessings abound to the man in God and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.